Welcome to the situation report for March 24th, 2025. Little Rusty Cage by Soundgarden, the immortal. Chris Cornell, great guy. You know, funny, the first time I heard him on the radio, I'm like, I know that dude. I know that dude. So, looks like we're heading towards a revolution, whether we like it or not. It's been an interesting weekend. I would say the situation right now is tense. The situation for a lot of reasons. Today, Trump nominated Dr. Susan Monterez for the CDC. You don't know who she is? She is a big pharma shill. You might as well have just put Pete Hotez in there. That would have been just about the same league. The optics coming out of the administration are not helping his case. 63 days in, and his base is already more and more angry. It's just a matter of time before when it boils over. And that's not even the worst part about it. I listened to the Stacey, by the way, this is another day where I couldn't get anything to work on my machine. I definitely think that either CIA or NSA is messing with my stuff. But the listen to Stacey Adams on the Sean Ryan show, and I think it was done earlier in the week last week, but yeah, they're beating the same drum. Tax here on American soil. It's going to happen. It's imminent. It's going to be done by Al-Qaeda. ISIS and Al-Qaeda blended together. Taliban and, you know, et cetera, et cetera. So let me sound like Ross Perot for a second here. Look, here's the deal. Whatever they're planning, obviously they're planning on American soil. And I don't know when that's going to happen. I don't know how that's going to happen. But they're plugging it hard now. And, you know, it's just a matter of time. So keep your action clear and roll heavy. That's all I can say. Because if they're still beating the drum after, you know, 63 days of Trump in office, it means that they're planning something. And I, you know, I hope it's just conjecture BS. But clearly it's not. And the other thing that's interesting is, you know, I did a show last week with Luongo on Coffee and a Mic, and I subsequently did a Substack post about feeding the shills, right? There's always a troll for every show. Doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what show you're doing. Doesn't matter what topic you're talking about. Someone will be offended. And that someone will post all over your social media. They'll post all over your show. I don't even read the comments anymore on Rumble. It's just no point, right? Half of them are like, you suck, you're a shill, you're CIA, you know. And I've been through the whole gamut, the death threats, the whole nine yards. And it just goes with territory, right? So he's tuning out. But in this case, Tom responded to this guy. And it was like 2 days of these two guys going back and forth. And I finally said, dude, you need a vibrator or a girlfriend. And I mean stat. My God. The arrogance of some people. Like, literally, he posted, Tom, I can give you some advice, but I can't make it through your F-bomb rant, which was, you know, basically the only thing that Mike posted for 24 hours. And you have to laugh because, you know, the abject stupidity that comes out of people, like somebody just off the street, I'm going to give you advice. Okay, you don't have a show, you don't have a presence, and you're going to give Tom Luongo advice, who's got like, you know, 250,000 subs. Really, dude? Get over yourself. But it goes to show that you don't feed the trolls, man. You just ban them. Just move on. And, I think it's going to be very, very bumpy over the next several months, because if people are that unhinged right now just because of a, you know, a rant that was posted, it's going to be a bumpy ride. And it tells me just how off the rails a lot of people are right now. I think it's very, very interesting how people have lost their minds. I mean, I'm going to go back to something I said almost 2.5-3 years ago now. I think there's something in the jabs that makes people stupid or perpetuates their stupidity or advances their stupidity. Have you driven around on the freeway lately? It's 90 degrees here today. People are just driving like maniacs. I was doing 80 in the center lane behind a truck, no place to go, cars on either side of me. And this dude goes around all of us on the median in the dirt because we weren't going fast enough. Like, dude, where do you need to get to? Like, wow. But it shows you just how off the rails people are. And I can't help but think that that's only going to get worse. Well, when you look back at the last 63 days, you've seen a lot of different moves that don't make a lot of sense. And on Sean Newman's podcast last week, he put something in front of me. He goes, you think this is a show? Do you think everything that Trump's doing is a show? Let me put something in front of everybody. And before I say this, I want to put this in terms so everybody understands where I'm coming from. If it's plausible, it's probable. Now, just because it's plausible doesn't mean it's highly probable. But you have to consider the unconsiderable, you know, the outlandish, the unbelievable. Because if there's a basis for it in reality in some way, shape, or form for the enemy to plan on, they will do it. Especially in the cyber world. There are some creative people that are hackers, very creative. And I've seen some very creative social engineering operations, social engineering hacks. I've seen a lot of just plain brute force attacks that were ingenious. Ingenious. So what I'm about to say may sound crazy, but I want you to think about it from the perspective of, is it plausible? What if the last 4 years of Biden, Trump's first term, the last 4 years, what if all that was a show to get us ready for Agenda 2030? Show us the worst, take us through 4 years of Trump, 4 years of Orange Man bad, take us through Biden, 4 years of a pedophile, a mentally handicapped, let's just say that. The guy was senile. A senile president and a cackling fool as a vice president. Take away all the other nonsense. What if they put us through the worst so we would embrace Trump and we would embrace Agenda 2030? Because if you know anything about Agenda 2030, they're all about economic opportunity zones, stable coin, digital currency, universal basic income, and a host of other initiatives. They might have given up on the green and the climate related conversation, but that doesn't mean they've given up on their agenda. And if they can get us to sign up for economic opportunity zones without having to fire a shot, then as far as I'm concerned, they've succeeded. But what if all of that was designed so that we would embrace Trump and embrace taking over Canada, taking over Mexico, and taking over Greenland? Because if you watch what he's doing right now, it's full court press to take Greenland. And it's not a maybe. The vice president's been up there. Don Jr.'s been up there. Now the second lady of SLOTUS is up there, whatever you want to call her. J.D. Vance's wife. The question you got to ask yourself is why? Any president prior to Trump could have said the exact same thing, done the exact same thing for the last 200 years. Have they? No. What's different? But is it plausible that first they take over Greenland, then we take over Canada? Think about it. Is it plausible? Absolutely it is. Is it possible? Absolutely it is. Is it probable? Probably not. I would hope not. But given the messaging over the weekend, so I don't know if you watched it or not, Saturday morning, or was it Sunday, Alex Jones, and I don't watch Alex Jones, but every time he does an emergency alert, I get spammed with Alex Jones messages. But Alex Jones came out and said that the king offered ceremoniously to add the U.S. to the Commonwealth. Now, I don't know if any of you remember the American Revolution, but we fought a war so we wouldn't be a part of the Commonwealth. Just saying. So I don't know if it was a troll, what the case was. I didn't see the post, but Alex Jones was saying that 1776 is right around the corner if that's what you decide to do and betray the American people. So the messaging's there, right? And look, let me be perfectly frank about King Dopey. The only thing I want from King Dumbo Ears is I want him to completely capitulate to the United States. Meaning, you surrender your country, your territories, and then you fuck off to prison along with the rest of your pedophile family. And we're done with the Windsors. That's the only thing I want to see from you. I don't want to see anything else. I don't want the City of London. I don't want anybody from Canary Wharf. I don't want anybody from Parliament. I don't want any of your elite. They're all pedophiles. I don't want any of them. You can all fuck off too. Fuck off to Europe. Go to your Swiss cottages and fuck off. That's the only thing I want from the UK. Because there's no there there, if that's the case, right? Which I think it's a troll anyway. But is it possible? Absolutely. Is it probable? Very small probability. Well, you have to think about the absolute worst case scenario. In the military, we call that most likely most dangerous course of action. But what if all of this was a ruse over the last 8 years to get us to sign up for unifying the entire North American continent? It wouldn't take much to unify South America. Nobody cares about Africa, except for the resources. They've already got Europe. We're the last barrier. And if you think about it, you make a deal with China, China runs Asia, and guess what? You've got economic opportunity zones. So, yeah. Take that in for a second. Because I proposed it to Sean, and I'm like, I'm just looking at this from what you're saying, right? But I don't take anything at face value anymore, right? The first couple of days he was in office, I took stuff at face value. But now, to be perfectly honest, I think we're being played. They're privatizing the federal government right now. They're getting rid of, and Catherine Austin Fitz has done a number of different interviews about this, right? And I don't think she's 100% over target. If she was, she'd be dead. But I do think between her and Luongo, there's definitely some, let's just say, synergies that could explain a lot of this. So you have to consider it. And does that mean I think it's real, it's going to happen? No. But I do think that the information, the messaging that's coming across is very, very interesting right now. Because you're seeing the narrative build around the attacks in the U.S. by Al-Qaeda. Let me just remind everybody, Al-Qaeda, ISIS, and all the rest of the terrorist organization are Mossad, CIA, MI6 creations. Every single one of them. We created the Mujahideen, which became Taliban and Al-Qaeda. We created them in 1980 when the Soviets invaded Afghanistan. We funneled arms, money, weapons, etc., to the Mujahideen throughout the time, the decade that the Russians were in Afghanistan. We created the Taliban and Al-Qaeda and ISIS and all the rest of them. So if a CIA asset is on a show talking about Al-Qaeda and all these guys have learned from their mistakes, no, the CIA trained them. The CIA enhanced their operations. The CIA built long-term mechanisms to continue their recruitment and continue their sustained operations, as well as funded them. So all that horse shit coming out of her mouth is predictive programming, as far as I'm concerned. And she still totes the party line about 9/11, which tells me she's completely a CIA asset. So there's that narrative building. Then you have the narrative around Greenland that's building, and Canada being the 51st state. Then you have the narrative around the situation in Ukraine and how every time they broker some kind of a peace deal, either Putin or Zelensky breaks the deal, and we're back to ground zero. Are you picking up the bigger picture? Delay, 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 delay. And I found out this morning that I guess there's 100 agents that are redacting the Epstein files. Why are you redacting the Epstein files when you said you were going to release all that information to the public? And we already found from the JFK files that the only thing they wanted redacted from JFK was Israel. And I'm making the assumption that that's what they're talking about right now. And then yesterday, Vigilant Fox released on his Substack, Israeli scientists launched chilling plan to block the sun. I don't know about you, but it sure sounds like there's a narrative developing around our closest and most sacred ally, who's continued to screw us over throughout our entire history, throughout their entire history. If it wasn't the USS Liberty, it was 9/11, then it was the attacks here in the homeland, blah, blah, blah. There's a narrative forming there is what I'm going after. How true it all is, who knows? The truth of the matter is, we know that Mossad funded Jeffrey Epstein. We know that Ghislaine Maxwell, Robert Maxwell, was a Mossad asset. It's not a big leap. I don't know why the FBI feels like they need to redact Israel and Mossad out of the Epstein files. But the other part of Epstein that's developing now, which hasn't developed until this point, was that Epstein was involved in healthcare and bioresearch as much as he was involved in human trafficking. And he was involved in a lot of stuff, not just trafficking young girls. And he's not the only island. He's not the only trafficker, et cetera, but he was involved in a lot of different activities, funding universities for different kinds of research, especially bioresearch. So there's that narrative developing too. And it sure does seem like they're moving us towards hatred of Israel, an attack here on U.S. soil that's blamed on some kind of an Israeli or Mossad asset through Al-Qaeda. They always tell us what they're going to do before they do it. And if it's, you know, like Stacey Adams is predictively programming, it's going to be a October 7th style attack that's across the country all at the same time. Bill Boopert does a really good job explaining this on his Chasing Ghosts podcast. He does three or four episodes on this, the attack, where he talks through how it'll develop. And I think he's spot on. So there's a number of different narratives that are forming right now. And I think a lot of it is in preparation for, you know, some kind of mass disclosure about activities that Mossad was doing elsewhere. It sure seems like that, right? And then there's tying everything, all the terrorist stuff back to Mossad and Israel. Look, MI6, CIA, and Mossad, they're basically mob organizations. They're controlled by elite. They operate for the elite. They don't operate for the American public. I know you're going to tell me there's good CIA people, blah, blah. Every interaction I had with the CIA, I fucking hated them. I hated them to the point where I just didn't want to deal with them. They were always the same, arrogant, pompous assholes that failed at everything they did. I only met one CIA guy who's a station chief in Africa that I actually liked. I didn't trust him, but I liked him because he was an honest dude about, you know, the things he could be honest about. But the rest of them, useless. I think that's pretty much universal experience with the CIA. Either way, I'm seeing three distinct diverging narratives building right now. The stuff with Ireland, noise. The stuff with the MMA fighter, noise. The stuff with the CDC, noise. We'll know if she's a pharma shill if she gets unanimously confirmed to go to the CDC, right? The CDC is always, as far as I'm concerned, the CDC needs to be shut down along with NIH, NAID, et cetera. And you notice how Bobby Kennedy, he's talking about banning Big Pharma from TV. Okay, who cares, right? Until you ban mRNA, nobody's going to buy into the story. It doesn't matter. They'll just find another way to go around the television advertisements and fund the networks directly, which is exactly what they did prior to COVID. Flooded the networks with money, told them what to say, and then we got COVID. I don't see any change there. And look, here's the bottom line. Get away from all the disclosures that they're talking about, the Epstein drop, the JFK drop. The bottom line is nobody's been arrested. And I don't want to hear from any of you lawyers or any of you district attorneys or any of you AGs tell me, do you know how long it takes to build an airtight case? They have all the receipts. Obama was called out by name on Saturday by the Gateway Pundit for building revenue streams and fake NGOs to funnel money to his own pockets. That's called a RICO case. If the Gateway Pundit has enough information to publish that to the public, there's a case there. Go arrest the guy. It's really simple. There's not a lot of calculus there. He already committed treason. He's already committed all kinds of fraud with Fast and Furious and all the other scandals in his administration. Go arrest the guy. Let him cool his heels down at Gitmo. That'll send a message to everybody else. You arrest the kingpin and you arrest John Brennan and Clapper and Hayden. Trust me, that will send a clear message to everybody in that orbit that their time's coming. And there should be no excuse why these people are still walking the streets, especially after cutting off USA. So here we are, 63 days in, nobody's been arrested, no real information's come out. The American people are waiting for justice. That's why I said in the very start of the show that we're headed towards a revolution. And I had a 2-hour conversation with my youngest today. And it's the first time in over 8 years that we've been able to talk about politics. And I find it interesting that age group, that 20-something age group, is talking about we're headed towards revolution regardless of what we're doing. And it wasn't me that prompted the conversation. The conversation started around, my generation has been screwed over 3 times now. None of the 20-somethings in my age group plan on buying a house. In fact, not only do they not plan on buying a house, they're not even saving money because they figure, if I save money and the economy collapses, I'll lose that money anyway. So I might as well live my life to the fullest while I can. That's a whole generation that thinks that way. And the shocker in the conversation was not that. The shocker in the conversation was that out of the blue, I was having a conversation with my friends and they literally said, we're headed towards revolution. And then they looked across the table and somebody else said, I have chills because I thought I was the only one that thought we're headed that way. So folks, I'm telling you, did I lose sound? Or did somebody on the other end lose sound? It would be just like, literally, it would be just like any normal broadcast where we have 30 minutes of cursory IT setup to fix whatever's wrong. Okay, good. Thanks. It was very, very shocking to have that conversation, especially from that age group. And the 20-somethings are not the only ones saying it. 30-somethings are saying it too. And if you're a 20 or 30-something, you're listening to me right now, here's what I want you to hear. It's going to be guys like me that fight this fight. Because I'm going to be out front. I am not going to sit on the sidelines and watch this happen to our country. And I've said it many times before, and I'll say it again. If Trump continues to lead us down the road to the path to Agenda 2030, I will be the lead, the head of the insurgency. I will not allow this country to be controlled by pedophiles. And the system's not going to clean itself up. If you haven't figured that out 63 days into this and nothing's happening, then you're not paying attention. Because you're being played, folks. Everything we're seeing right now is a distraction. While they consolidate power, frantically build out their tech grid, and frantically figure out how to institute some kind of a stable coin. Trump's already been talking about it. Everything's delay, delay, delay. The slow burn. It's the same slow burn we had for the last 4 years, and 4 years before that, and 4 years before that. The only difference is now we're slowly burning towards the spark that lights the second American Revolution. That's how I see the situation right now, especially after that conversation with my kid. And believe me, we don't talk politics. So for that to come up, it means that the entire generation is starting to. And here's the other interesting tidbit that came out of that conversation. The liberals think that Trump's consolidating power and that he's going to be a king. They literally think that. And they also think that he's privatizing all the government so he can manipulate even out of office. Sounds a lot like Obama, right? So the messaging on that side of the fence is still alive and well. And that's not orange man bad. That's literally, we've anointed a king. That's the narrative. And just like the assassination attempt, the liberal side of the house thought, it's fake. The conservative side of the house thought it was real. But here's the reality of it. I don't think anybody knows for sure if it was real or not. Shots go off. He dips down behind the podium. He comes back up. He's got blood all over his face. You could make the case that it was a blood pill that they popped on his ear, and then they put that big MyPillow thing on his head, on his ear for the convention. And we were off to the races. The problem is there was no press briefing by a doctor. There was no confirmation of his wounds. There was no analysis of his health. And it raised more questions than it answered. So you can make the case either way. Who knows what the truth is? Doesn't matter. What matters is what people believe. And if you believe what the left believes right now, they already assumed that he was going to go in and line his pockets and hand them the government as well as the treasury over to the New York bankers. They literally believe that. And if I was a betting man, I would say they want those narratives to stick so it foments civil war. But in this case, I don't think it will. I think it's going to be a revolution. And I say that because I see all of the pointers and indicators of blame going towards the elite and towards the leaders across the planet, not towards the opposite side of the fence. Because the other interesting comment that was made, which I didn't expect either, is that the 20 and 30 something age groups, they want to get back to what America should be, where you can have political beliefs and still be conservative at the same time. They're tired of the narrative that you have to be completely left-leaning or completely right-leaning, otherwise you're the enemy. They want to get back to, hey, I like cowboy shit, but I'm a liberal. I like the Green Bay Packers, but I'm a liberal. Or I like the ballet and I'm a conservative. I mean, bad examples, but you get where I'm going with that. That's what they want. They want an America where you can have civil discourse and walk away and still be friends. Because they've had too many friends walk away because they believe something that wasn't in the acceptable religion of the state. And to me, that's a pretty astute viewpoint for a 20-something. And the other interesting comment is most of the 20-somethings in these age groups, they want to get out of the cities. They're tired of dealing with the stupid and the crazy in the cities. They want to just move to a rural area and just live their life in a small community with people that they can interact with. They don't even care if their political views are hurt. They don't care. They just want to go somewhere where people could have a hobby or have a life and not have to deal with the politics. That's a massive shift from where we were back in 2020. And this is the next generation coming up behind me. That gives me a lot of promise, gives me a lot of hope. Because they recognize that we need to get back to small town America in order for the country to survive this. Let the cities blow up and implode. We'll go rebuild them. But we can't rebuild our culture. You ask me, that's a pretty fucking mature thing to say and believe. And I would hope that that sticks long term. Because their view is patriotism doesn't mean what it meant before. And I agree. Because most of the population has figured out that the shitbags that are asking you to be patriotic, to go fight for your country, none of them would pick up a rifle and stand the post, so why should they? Again, another astute observation by a 20-something crowd that supposedly isn't paying attention. And they don't believe the mainstream media any more than anybody else does. And these are liberals. So I want you to take that in for a second. The fact that they even recognize that, they're thinking about it, and they're talking about revolution, means that they know who the real enemy is. And look, I can't sit here and say that the real enemy is just the elite. This script has been played out on humanity, on countries, for generations. It's the same script. It's the deep dark behind all the faces we know and see that we need to root out this time and take this all the way to the finish line. Meaning, if we go through this time, then we go find out who the deep dark is and we hunt them down and eradicate them. Because it's not the faces we know. It's the deep dark, the names we've never heard of, the institutional money that's pushed this agenda for generations. Those people need to go. And we need to establish a system of governance that doesn't allow for this to happen again. Because we've recycled this turd every 80 years for the last 5,000 years. And I hope this stuff about the Giza Plateau is real, because then it begs the question, what other ruins have stuff underneath them that we don't know about? And how deep does that go? All of that needs to bubble to the surface. All of that hidden history needs to come to the surface. All of us need to see this all the way through to the finish line. And I'm telling you, what we're watching is a show, plain and simple. I don't see anything else about it that's real. The only thing that I think was beneficial was the fact that they went through USAID and cut all the revenue streams for all of the shitbags that were, you know, lifetime politicians. But they didn't get rid of USAID. They moved it under Department of State, under Rubio. So don't think for 1 minute that there's not malfeasance going on there as well. And remember the Bureau of Disinformation They didn't get rid of it. They just moved it under some other organization and called it something else. That's how the government works. So the entire system has to fail before we can do any kind of reconstruction. And the fact that the 20 and 30 somethings recognize that and are seeing it loud and clear, guess what, folks? The enemy's already lost. Because if they're that cynical right now and they see it as it is right now, guess what? Game over. Our job, our mission now, is to out the deep dark and figure out who is really pulling the strings. That's who we need to out and bring to the sunlight. And we have to do it soon. But somehow I get the impression that that's going to happen organically without any intervention. We'll see. But I think it's the timing suspect, the actions of Trump are suspect, the fact that they haven't banned mRNA vaccines, that's a very loud message to me. When Borla was in the White House, owned. We'll have to solve that problem too. So we got a lot of work ahead of us. But it's not something that we as a population can't do. And get away from all the zealots that are on social media. Those, most of them are paid shills. Some of them are just plain crazy. The normal, let's just say the normal grounded Americans outnumber them. I don't see them gaining traction and getting the amount of clicks that they think they're going to get. And for every story that you see multiple people talking about, assume half of them are getting paid to talk about it. This whole thing about soda and Coke paying people and influencers over the past week, that's the game. Like this Harry Sisson, that little cuck. Turns out he's a player. Using his fame and fortune to get nude pictures out of women. There's something new. Point is, most of the stuff you're seeing is bought and paid for by either big pharma, big company, or big government. Very, very few people are talking about anything that is pertinent right now. Except for, I think Luongo's probably got 60% read on the situation. Catherine Austin Fitz has a 60% read on the situation, etc. We'll see how it plays out in the next few weeks. But I think it's going to be very, very interesting over the next few months as more of these disclosures come out. I'm still waiting to find out if this stuff about Giza is real. Because if it's real, it's going to change the landscape of the planet. Everything we know about science, everything we know about history, everything we know about religion, everything we know about ancient cultures will be completely overturned and tossed into disarray. And here's a question for you. Because again, the 20-somethings threw this in front of me. And I was not prepared for this one either. What if the Egyptians were way more advanced than we give them credit for? Their societal view of women and positions of power, as well as positions within the community and the leadership chain there, was vastly different than we could comprehend right now. It was more complex. It was more, not political is not the word I would use for it. It was more, this is more complex is the best way to say it. And if that's true, everything we've been told about Egyptian history, about ancient history, will be rewritten. And it'll make you question, because this is where I'm really going with this. What if everything we've been told is a lie? Ed Weinstein did a presentation where he talked about how they stagnated science in 1973. And he's right, they did. And if you're thinking about the timeline, What else was going on in the early 70s? Apollo, the moon program. We were moving in towards physics, etc. That would throw all of that into perspective. If everything that's been said and shown about the pyramids over the last week is true. And it would completely upend the entire education system, which we all know the education system's basically an indoctrination center for pedophiles right now. That's why I say it's going to be a very interesting few months ahead, because we're going to see things change in a way we probably have never anticipated. And for the first time in a long time, I have a lot of hope. Not because of the revelations or anything. I'm not even sure that's even true. I have hope because the younger generation is starting to see through all the propaganda, all the BS, all the stage show, and all the lies. And thank God for it too. Because if they can see through it, it means that there's a good portion of America that's probably starting to see through it too, as well as across the planet. That gives me hope for humanity. Will it suck on the way through? Absolutely. I don't know. I don't know what kinetic is coming our way, but they've been telling us for months in a variety of circles that kinetic's coming our way. Okay. Got it. Check, Roger. Move out. If you heard me say anything, the last thing I'm going to say is lose the fear. There's no reason to be scared right now. And be prepared. We beat the drum on it for months and months and months. We beat the drum on it. So be prepared for anything. And as a public service announcement, if you're in Arizona, I need your help. The first aid bill for the homeless. HB, let me bring it up here. I posted it on my feed. That's where it is. HB 2052 is supposed to go for public comment on Wednesday, the 26th. Yeah, let me see what time here. I need to get to my post. Give me just a second. Yeah, Wednesday, March 26th, 2025. Members of the public may access the live stream, and they're going to be, looks like it, they're going to vote to take it out of committee. I thought it already got out of committee. So HB 2052 first aid bills crossed over to the Arizona Senate, allows basic first aid to be provided, including to the homeless. Please email or call your senator. I have a post on both Telegram and on Twitter, and I'll post it to True Social. If you're in Arizona, reach out to these people and let them know you want this bill passed, because this does help the homeless and this helps troops mission and troops the real deal. He does this. He did this out of his own pocket for the first year until I convinced him to set up a nonprofit so he could take donations and not have to pay the IRS for all the donations and then help the homeless too. So it's the real deal. This really does help people. I've watched him do it. I've watched him in action. It's the real deal. So we need your help on this one. This will take it over the finish line if we get enough noise to these Arizona senators. So if you've got the time, you're in Arizona, please help out. I reached out to three of them so far. Angus, Gonzalez, and Champ. Tomorrow I'm going to reach out to the other three and make sure they know that I want this bill passed. So make some noise. Let's get this over the finish line and let's get the help these people need. And I hope for troops' sake that he turns this into something big where he takes out, because he was training first responders, helping these people out in the field and God's work. So help the brother out. I will be at the Cigar Bar next week on Thursday. If that's happening, I'll be there next Thursday. And I will be traveling a good portion of next month and probably into May, dealing with my other kid and health issues there. So it's going to be a busy couple of months. But I'm going to do two of these a week Round tables, we'll do them as we need them, as at they'll be ad hoc. Some of the teams traveling, so it's going to be hit and miss for a couple of weeks. Trying to get, I'll try and get Bracken on, et cetera. Bracken, Michael Yon, et cetera. So we do some shows talking about Panama, talking about the situation there. And that's the piece I haven't talked about, because that situation isn't developing yet. And I think the reason why it's not developing is because there's some off-channel negotiations going on with Panama, so that we don't take it by force. But we may end up taking that by force, which is why it's quiet right now. So keep eyes on that. I think that's, if you want my opinion, I think Panama is way more strategic than anything else right now, especially Canada and Greenland and all that other noise, because it will stop the Chinese, it will stop the flow of fentanyl, and it will stop the flow of people coming into the U.S. and coming up to the U.S. border, as well as weapons, etc. So that, to me, is more strategic right now than all the rest of it. Anyway, I'll be back on Wednesday afternoon, not Wednesday night, earlier in the day. I'll probably kick off at about 3 o'clock Pacific time, 6 o'clock Eastern. Until then, God bless. One team, one fight.